I read the Gemara about one of the Amoraim that his wife wasn't pretty.
Oh yeah, he wanted
his wife to be pretty.
Yeah.
Right? She got pretty, and then it wasn't good. She was like giving him attitude.
It's all about what's inside.
Remember that? It's all about bashert. Remember we spoke about this idea called a bashert.
Yes.
When it comes to marriage, it's very important. A person realizes that you get what you deserve. And a person should love what he gets, not get what he loves. You speak about that?
Yeah, the graffiti.
Love what you get. Don't get what you love. What?
Love what you get.
It said, the graffiti said, get what you love, don't love what you get. Which is, you love something, go get it. You want it, go get it. Don't just be happy with what you have. And we were saying, no, it's really the opposite. You have a basher, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent you something. So love what you get. Just be happy with it. Learn how to be happy with what you have. Instead of trying to always like get something else and always trying to upgrade. Everyone's trying to get something else and get something else.
New iPhone.
And you're never really happy with that. Well, the new technology, you know, that new stuff. Just leave it alone.
You guys. You know?
Just be happy with what you have. Now, we're going to speak a little bit about davening, because we spoke about davening. We're going to get into Yitzchak. We're going to, hopefully, we're going to segue now into Yitzchak Avinu, who also has a very important element of Amunah, which we're going to speak about. It was really last week's parasha. But before we get into Yitzchak, we're going to do that B'linada tomorrow. I want to speak a little bit about davening. Davening is also a critical part of Emunah. We asked, if a person has Emunah, it's all good. What are you daven for? What's the reason for davening? And we spoke about this already a little bit, that davening is supposed to change you. It's a lashon of hispalel, right? What is the hispalel? It says lispalel. The suf is what something you do to yourself. You don't daven to yourself. The answer is when you daven, you change yourself. That's what davening is supposed to do, right? A person is supposed to it's supposed to affect change through his davening. So therefore, if you change yourself, then now you're a person that it has different needs than what you need before. I'll tell you a mashal. There's a mashal from Elia Lapian.
Ooh.
I heard this mashal from Elia Lapian. Who is Elia Lapian? Does anyone know?
His
father,
grandfather.
What?
No.
No, it's his uncle.
So he has other. There's other yichus. Other than people that are alive today, Rabbi Elia Lapian was the mashkiach in Gates at Yeshiva, and after that he became mashkiach in Kfar Chasidim. He lived in Kfar Chasidim. It's here in Eretz Yisrael. He lived here in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Elia Lapian wrote a sefer called Leiv Elio. That was the name of his sefer. Anyway, so Rabbi Elia Lapian gave the following mashal. His mashal was that there was once a little child. And that little child had a father who was sick. His father was sick. And the father was very, very not well. He had a whole crew of doctors that were tending to the father. He lived at home, but he was basically, his bedroom was basically like a hospital room. And he was hooked up to all these different machines, and he was taking all these different types of medications, and they thought it was going to be very traumatic for the child. So the child was never allowed into the bedroom. And he always saw people coming and going into the bedroom, and there was always like a lot of activity there. The child was very curious what's going on inside the bedroom. One day, as one of the doctors was leaving and the door was closing, the son slipped in the room, and he walked in and he saw his father there. And the son's there, and he's looking around the room, and he sees the father's hooked up to all these machines, and there's all these graphs and beeping things, and he's got this whole huge shelf full of medications, and they've got liquids and IVs, and all the stuff is surrounding him. And the son looks at the father and says, "Dad, you're so lucky. You got so much stuff. You got all this stuff, these machines and these bottles and these things." He says, "You got so much stuff." And the father said to the son, obviously, he said, "Son, you don't need any of this. I need this to survive. You don't need it. You're the lucky one." And Rabbi Elia is saying there's certain people that they need, you know, to have their the Lexus LS60, something like that. What? Oh, it's pretty close. I was close on that. Right?
And some people
need their fancy, now I'm going to date myself because Ferragamo is probably not even so fancy anymore, but their fancy Ferragamo things, Louis Vuitton, or other fancy stuffs, which they need. I need to have it. Oh my God, I would die to have that. Like,
so there's some
ridiculous
people that
really
what? Some people have it.
So some people, they feel like they need it in order to be happy, but some people, you could be happy without it. So what's the point?
Even those
Even
those people, they really need it to be happy? No.
Well, whatever. Let's try to be the people that don't feel like we even need it. They don't feel like we need it.
Right.
But, so that's what Rabbi Lapian was using this mashal for. So some people, for them, they need gashmias. So other people, they Baruch Hashem, they don't need it. I don't need this. I don't need some sort of outside type of influence or vice in order to make me happy. It's not necessary.
Doesn't everybody have their thing that they, that not that they need, but something that like
the more perfect, the more perfect a person is, the less he needs.
You don't need the balance.
What?
You don't need the balance.
Well, the more perfect a person is, the less he needs. There are some people that need, to eat schnitzel every day or steak. Some people need steak. Some people can eat farfel, and they're 100% happy with farfel every day. In Baranovich, the yeshiva Baranovich, anyone know where Baranovich is?
Which country?
What?
In Baranovich.
Where and which country is Baranovich in?
Austria, Lithuania, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, America, Russia, Ukraine,
Belarus,
Lakewood.
Baranovich, I believe, is in Belarus. What else is in Belarus? Radin is in Belarus. And Volozhin is in Belarus.
Cool. It's a legit place.
Belarus is a legit place.
It's pretty happy.
Panovich is in Lita. What?
It's in Europe.
Kovna, it's in Europe. Trip.
That's where we're going.
So, Rabbi, in Baranovich, they served every single day the same food for lunch. Chalant. Every single day.
I pity that.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know if they served any food Friday. Shabbos. Chalant was fleishik. During the week, it was power of chalant. Got it. Every day it was challah. It's all they ate, and they were happy. They were okay with that. That was enough. You know what I mean? That's all. What?
They didn't know better.
It's not that they didn't know better. They didn't need more. Because people, even if they know better, they don't need more. I'll give you an example. Rabbi Leib Steinman, is a man who has millions of dollars passing through his hands. Literally millions of dollars. But he could very easy, he has no problem calling someone up and say, I need $1 million for myself. He'll get it in a second.
Who?
Rabbi Leib Steinman. In a second.
Yeah.
If he wants to have, he says, I want a new Volvo, without a problem, he'd have it in a second. I want a new apartment, he would have it in a second. He lives in this teeny little broken down apartment. People are begging him in order that he should be like, I'm happy with what I have. He has the opportunity for more. He's not interested. He's just not interested. The people are like, I don't need it. What should I have it for? You want to hook me up to another machine? Why are you hooked up to another machine? So a person doesn't need things. He's a lucky man. We feel we need. I need to have a big house. I need to have a big car. I need for my wife to look beautiful. I need. These are all things that we need to be hooked up to in order to be happy. Some people don't need that. Avraham Avinu didn't even have to look at his wife to be happy. He was happy. He never even looked at her.
What does it mean if a person needs little to be happy? What does that show about the person? Amen.
It's a little not perfect, but stay there.
He's less connected to his gashmias,
which means that he's in a higher spirit.
Yeah, correct. Okay, so Rabbi Eliel Apian used the muscle for that, but we're going to use it for something else. A person who is spiritually sick, he needs certain things to happen to him in order for him to have a correction. He needs to have a broken leg. The broken leg, the cast on the leg, is what's kind of correcting it. But if he davens and he changes himself, he doesn't need it anymore. I don't need to be hooked up to this machine anymore. Take the machine off. So what we do when we daven is we're trying to fix ourselves spiritually. Listen to this word from Rabbeinu Bachai. It's a very, 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 very important word. Now, Rabbeinu Bachai tells you a rule in grammar. When you write a sentence, first you write the cause, and then you write the result. That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yes.
Because I was hungry, I went to the store. The hunger is the cause for going to the store. That's the way you write things. You don't have to write things backwards. You write the cause, and then you write the result. That's what Rabbeinu Bachai writes in Karakemach. He writes the following thing. The Pasuk says that Rivka was an Akara. Because Rivka was an Akara, therefore, Yitzchak davened. She davened, Yitzchak davened. Right? But the Pasuk doesn't write it that way. The Pasuk writes, Vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'noichach ishtoi. Yitzchak davened to Hashem in front of his wife. Ki Akara hi. Because she was an Akara. Why did the Pasuk write, Rivka was an Akara, so Yitzchak davened? Doesn't the cause come before the effect? Says the Karakemach, the Rabbeinu Bachai, a very important idea.
The Akara,
she's barren. She couldn't have children. She didn't have any children. So, because she had no children. What?
Everything.
What?
Loving is a cause.
says the Katakemach that we made a mistake. We think that you have to daven because you have a tzara. It's really the other way around, as Rav Yehuda in training said, that really the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to daven. He's looking for tefillos. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says what? I'm going to give you something to daven about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to get our attention. Sometimes things are just going so good that we just like kind of forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's like everything's good. You know, everything's going smooth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drops you something and it's like, okay, Hashem, now I need you. Right? It's just trying to get you back in focus with the fact that we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the purpose of davening. That's the reason for davening. When a person establishes that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah, so then, because the tzara has brought about its desired result. What's the result we want from the tefillah? Connection. Change yourself. Get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I said people make a very big mistake. This is what I want you to warn you about. Okay? We had this in our family. I'll tell you something personal. There's a member of our family that needed a shidduch very badly. So the entire family started davening and davening. We went to the Peleoyitz. That was part of what last year on the Europe trip was a big thing. Went to the Peleoyitz and davened very hard. And Baruch Hashem, we have a wonderful shidduch. Mamash, a nes of a shidduch. Beautiful shidduch. How the whole shidduch came about as a nace, and the fact that the age gap, the whole thing, it's amazing. It's a miracle. I'm not going to go into all the details, but it's a miracle, right? Beautiful. So now what? Now stop davening, right? You made a big mistake if you do that, right? Why did Hashem make you this situation? So you should daven, okay? Now the situation's over, we'll stop davening. If you do that, then Hashem's okay, I gotta throw something else down the pike. You know what I mean? Here comes another one. Bang, now you gotta daven again. And then we're gonna keep on, we can't play this game forever. What's the point? Because Baruch Hu wants us to establish a relationship with us. So he tries to wake us up. But don't go back to sleep. Afterwards we think like, okay, we daven and that's it, we're done. And then we're just going to... That should become his standard davening. Should become that same type of feeling of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it should become. I tell people that I had the most heartfelt tefillah, maybe I told you about this, I don't know, was in a hospital. I was in a hospital. I had detached a retina in my eye. Now, a detached retina is something which doctors do not necessarily know how to reconnect the retina. If it gets fully detached, you become blind permanently, which is not pleasant. So when the doctor told me that my retina was detached, I almost fainted. And he said to me, you cannot go home. You have to go immediately to the hospital. You have to have emergency surgery. You might go blind. And I was around, this was 15 years ago. I was a young man. Right? And to be blind would be very challenging for me. And I'm not going to go into all the details. I ended up in a hospital in Tel Shomer in Tel Aviv. First, I was supposed to go to Shari Tzedek, and then we said Tel Shomer. I ended up in Baltimore, had the surgery. Dr. Michael Ellman did the surgery on me, and Baruch Hashem, both of my eyes can see. Whatever challenges I still have with my vision are minimal. I have to go every year for a checkup. Just reminds me I should be going soon for my checkup, just to make sure everything's okay. Anyway, I'm there in Tel Aviv. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no doctor there. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. I have to daven Maariv. The doctor's appointment was at 3:30. I must have done mincha beforehand. Daven Maariv. I am totally, totally, like, you know, feeling very, very vulnerable. Like I've never felt before. And I daven Shemoneh Esrei in the hospital. And my refa'enu that I daven then, I never had such a, like, a feeling of, like, I'm talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, you know, okay, this is it, you know. This davening really meant a lot to me. Now, what's bad about this story is that my refa'enu should always be that same way. Should always, because Baruch Hu wants to establish a connection with us. Once you've established it, don't let it just fade. It's hard. Sure, it's a challenge to do that, but we should try to keep that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is always that close to us. Sometimes He like wants us to feel it, so He gives it to us. Sometimes He doesn't. But we have to try to keep, maintain that intensity during our davening. I heard from Rav Meir Stern Shlita, the Rosh Yeshiva of Pesach. He said a story about the Belzer Rebbe. Anyone know where Belz is? Galicia is like good because it's like vague, you know. It's out there. Belz is in a country called Ukraine.
I should charge from there, no?
The Belzer Rebbe had a huge dynasty. Belz was massive, and he came to America. Or I think it was America. There was like nothing left. There was no Hasidim. There was nothing. What we see, we don't understand so much. It's hard to really fathom how Klal Yisrael rebuilt themselves. There was nothing left. There was literally, there was just teeny little remnants. Huge dynasties of Hasidus were literally just a handful of people. Many of them never even, like, you know, were brought up again. I have a Rebbe that I read a lot of his from. It's called the Ostrov Tzigain. Most of you never heard of him, right? He was huge. He was huge, Ostrov Tzigain. He had thousands of Hasidim. No one even heard of him because the Nazis wiped the whole thing out. 6 million Jews is a lot compared to what we have. Anyway, so Belz was big. And when Belz was big, the Rebbe davened Shemai Nesrei. And it was like, there's a Rebbe Shach Shemai Nesrei. After Belz was decimated, so Rav Meir Stern told a story that someone was made, I don't know who it was. It was the same Shemai Nesrei. Same thing. In other words, it's a different matziv. We have to try to keep the same intensity that we have. Good times, bad times, easy times, hard times. Because the point of the davening is to establish a connection and a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't always do that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to send us something. But realize when you're sent something, it's not just, okay, I got to daven because I want to get out of it. It's I have to daven because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to get more out of me. More connection. More closeness. More of a relationship. More emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's what tefillah is. Davening is, Hashem, I realize it's all for me. I realize that you're the one that's sending this to me, or is you're the one that's in control of my life, and I'm asking you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to allow me to be able to flourish. That's what tefillah is. So says the Katekemach. That's what Yitzchak was doing when he's davening. He was realizing this reality, and tefillah is not a stira to emuna. Tefillah is actually the yisoid of tefillah is emuna. The word tefillah. Rav Gamliel Rabinovich says the word tefillah in the Sefer Tiv HaEmunah means to engage or to connect with, like Lashon of Naftali means when you're enmeshed. Did we mention that yet?
Yeah.
We did? See that? That's what it is. Okay, so now let's talk about Yitzchak for a second. I want to speak about Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak brings a new emunah to the table. Avram Avinu is the one who introduced to us what I'll call emunah b'Hashem. Yitzchak introduces to us a new type of emunah, which Avram Avinu did not have. He didn't have this emunah. It's called emunas chachamim. Why did Avram Avinu not have emunas chachamim? Because there were no chachamim. There wasn't any, he didn't have any, it was, Avram was the first. So there wasn't any place for Amunas Chachamim, Avram Avinu. Yitzchak had his father. Yitzchak is the one who introduces us to a concept called Emunas Chachamim. And this is a very, very important idea. I believe that more than anything else, what we're lacking in our generation is true Emunas Chachamim. That's what I think that this is our perhaps one of our biggest challenges. Maybe the Emun of Yaakov Avinu sees also a big challenge. Emun of Hashem, I think that pretty much we all have. That's not really a big deal for most of us. Emunas Chachamim is a challenge. Yitzchak Avinu introduced that to us. Where? Akedas Yitzchak. Why? Because Avram Avinu spoke to Hashem. Hashem said, okay, I want you to bring your son as an Akedah. That's strange, but Hashem said, okay, I'll listen. Avram tells Yitzchak, okay, let's go, we're going for a ride. Where are we going? And Yitzchak knew, right? He's going to be an Akedah. this doesn't make any sense. This does not make any sense. Hold on a second. Could you explain this to me? Yitzchak's like, time out. Can we just talk about this for a second? Karban? That's like so not Jewish. You know what I mean? Wait, hold on. I want to understand. No. No. I'm not going to explain it to you. He didn't hear it from Hashem. Yitzchak. I haven't heard it from Hashem. Okay, Hashem, you said. I listened. He heard it from Avram. So the Rishonim say Yitzchak's Nisayon was tremendous. Because he knew intellectually this makes no sense. A human sacrifice? Jewish God? Doesn't make any sense. It's like overload. I can't get that. So why is he doing it? He's doing it because Yitzchak had something called Emunas Chachamim.
Well, we see that it's his father. How do you mean someone else would have the same amount?
What?
We see that Avram after all was his father.
All right.
So maybe that's the reason why he did it.
That's correct. What did Elisha call Eliyahu HaNavi?
Had there been another Chacham?
What did Elisha call Eliyahu HaNavi? Avi Avi. What is the pasuk say? Vishinatam avanecha elo tamidim. A father is Rebbe's like a father. It's the same thing. It's the same idea.
Isn't one of the big reasons why we have such a hard time with Musa Chacham now is because Chacham, in our generation, the biggest misconception. Everybody, you don't know who to go to.
So we have to figure out what does Emunas Chachamim mean. We're gonna have to talk about this, and how can there ever be a machlokes between Chachamim? When do I have to have Emunas Chachamim? Can I choose this Chacham over that Chacham? There's lots of different things to discuss about Emunas Chacham, but this is a critical point in Emuna. It's not just like another thing which we'll deal with. This is part of the Ikar Amunah, is believing in the Chachamim. Not only believing in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, a person who's Kofer b'Chachamim, it's Ki'ilu Kofer b'Kala Torah Kula. If he's Kofer in the Chachamim. So, Beis Hashem, B'li Neder, tomorrow, hopefully, we're going to discuss more about Yitzchak's Amunah and about having Amunah's Chachamim and all those different things. Thank you all for listening.